आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स मॉर्निंग न्यूज। गुड मॉर्निंग, आई एम सरबजीत कौर। द हेडलाइंस। पोलिंग बिगिंस फॉर असेंबली इलेक्शंस इन असम, केरलम एंड पुडुचेरी। गवर्नमेंट अनाउंसेस रिलीफ मेजर्स फॉर डोमेस्टिक एयरलाइंस, कट्स एयरपोर्ट चार्जेस बाय 25%। World Bank raises India's growth forecast from 6.3 to 6.6% for current financial year. IAEA Director General Rafael Mariano Grossi praises India's nuclear milestone at Kalapakkam in Tamil Nadu. US Vice President J.D. Vance to lead American delegation for direct talks with Iran in Islamabad aimed at ending West Asia conflict. And in IPL cricket, Gujarat Titans beat Delhi Capitals by one run in last over thriller at Arun Jaitley Stadium in Delhi. And now the news in detail. Polling has begun for assembly elections in Assam, Keralam and Union Territory of Puducherry. Voting is taking place for all 126 seats in Assam, 140 in Keralam and 30 seats in Puducherry in a single phase. Polling began at 7 this morning amid tight security. Elections Commission has made elaborate arrangements to ensure free, fair and peaceful polling. In Keralam, a total of 883 candidates are in the fray for 140 assembly seats. The state has an electorate of 2 crore 71 lakh voters. Now we go over live to our correspondent Smithy M. Paluruthi, who is in Thiruvananthapuram. Smithy, what's the latest update you have for our listeners about polling in Keralam?
Sarbjit, polling has started smoothly across 140 constituencies in Keralam, except some minor issues in isolated places. State control room at Thiruvananthapuram is monitoring the progress across Keralam. Queue are seen in many booths even before starting the polling, including rural and urban areas. Tight security arrangement has been made in all the 30,495 booths. Security arrangement has been increased in the 2040 sensitive booths in Keralam. Polling trends will be available from 9:30 a.m. onwards. Sarbjit.
Thank you, Smithy, for that update. In Puducherry, 294 candidates are contesting the assembly elections. Special theme-based polling stations reflecting the culture and heritage of Puducherry have been set up. 30 all-women-managed pink polling stations, 15 youth-managed stations and 2 polling stations managed entirely by persons with disabilities have also been established. We now take you live to our correspondent, Bibin S. Nath, where he's in Puducherry right now. Bibin, how is polling progressing in Puducherry?
Sarabjit, polling across 1,099 booths in Puducherry is progressing smoothly since it began at 7 this morning. Earlier, mock polls were conducted in the presence of political party representatives. We are expecting the first official polling trends from the Election Commission by around 9:30 a.m. There has been a fairly good voter turnout in the initial hours, and the officials expect the percentage to rise further as the day progresses. Elaborate security arrangements are in place, especially at the vulnerable booths with the surveillance through drones and flying squads. Webcasting is also active in all polling stations with the 2 cameras at each booth for real-time monitoring. In addition to the polling staff and security personnel, around 2,200 student volunteers have also been deployed to assist senior citizens and persons with disabilities. Strict guidelines are being enforced, including a ban on mobile phones within 100 meters of polling stations. Facilities such as mobile deposit counters, drinking water, wheelchairs, ramps and seating arrangements have also been provided. Considering the summer heat, voters are advised to take precautions and avoid bringing children to polling stations. Sarabjit.
Thank you, Bibin, for that update. In Assam, over 2.5 crore electors with a near equal gender distribution are eligible to vote. A total of 31,490 polling stations have been set up across the state. We now connect with our Guwahati correspondent, Rakesh Dole. Rakesh, what latest update you have for our listeners on polling in Assam?
Yes, Sarabjit ji, in Assam, the initial reports from various districts indicates steady turnout in the first hour, with voters arriving early at polling stations to avoid queues later in the day. Well, elaborate arrangements have been put in place to ensure a smooth, secure and transparent electoral process. A maximum of 1,200 electors have been assigned to each polling stations to reduce congestion and facilitate orderly voting. Mobile deposit facilities have also been set up at polling stations for the convenience of voters, while candidates' help desk has been permitted beyond the 100-meter radius. To enhance voter experience and participation, model polling stations reflecting local culture have been established across the state. Sarabjit ji, if we look back to the 2021 General Assembly elections, Assam recorded a voter turnout of over 80%. At this election, a total of 722 candidates are in fray for the 126-member Assam Assembly. Back to you, Sarabjit ji.
Thank you, Rakesh, for getting us that update from Assam. Now we go over live to our correspondent in Silchar, Saswati Bhattacharji. Let's have the polling updates from there.
Basic facilities like drinking water, toilets and wheelchairs for the disabled have been ensured at every booth. Focus of interest is riveted on the three districts of Kachar, Hailakandi and Shribhumi or Karimganj of Barak Valley, since many political analysts believe that these districts may hold the key in forming the next government. In a remarkable first, 398 polling stations in Kachar are being run entirely by women staff, the highest in the state. Out of these, 198 are in Silchar alone. Over 34,000 senior citizens and PWD voters have already voted through postal ballots. Now more than 6.4 lakh first-time voters are ready to cast their franchise today.
Thank you, Saswati. Meanwhile, today is the last day for withdrawal of nominations for single-phase polling in Tamil Nadu and first phase of voting in West Bengal. Today is also the last day for filing of nominations for the second phase of polling in West Bengal. Counting of votes for all four states and the Union Territory will take place on the 4th of next month. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has appealed to voters of Assam, Keralam and Puducherry to exercise their franchise in large numbers. In a series of social media posts, Mr. Modi appealed to the people of Assam to exercise their franchise in large numbers. The Prime Minister expressed hope that Keralam's youth and women voters will participate enthusiastically and make this election a celebration of democracy and public duty. Mr. Modi said that record participation will add vigour to Keralam's democratic spirit. The Prime Minister also requested the youth and women of Assam to step forward and vote in large numbers. Mr. Modi also urged the youth and women voters of Puducherry to strengthen the process of democracy. He said every vote matters in shaping the future of Puducherry. Union Civil Aviation Minister Ram Mohan Naidu has announced a series of relief measures for domestic airlines, including a 25% reduction in landing and parking charges. A report.
The move is aimed at easing operational cost pressures on Indian carriers and ensuring that air travel remains affordable for passengers despite rising global fuel prices. The Ministry of Civil Aviation said the aviation sector has been impacted by a sharp increase in aviation turbine fuel prices due to global crude oil volatility. As part of the later intervention, the ministry has directed the Airports Economic Regulatory Authority to reduce landing and parking charges by 25% at all major airports for domestic flights. The reduction has come into force with immediate effect and will remain in place for 3 months. Similarly, the Airports Authority of India has been instructed to implement the same reduction at non-major airports across the country. The government estimates that the move will reduce airlines' expenses by approximately 400 crore rupees over the three-month period. Speaking on the decision, Mr. Naidu said, "The government's priority is to maintain stability in the aviation sector while ensuring affordability and convenience for passengers." The ministry has also clarified that any revenue shortfall faced by airports due to the reduced charges will be adjusted during future tariff determinations. Rishu Jaiswal, Akashvani News, Delhi.
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. Welcome back. You're listening to the Morning News. The World Bank has raised India's growth forecast from 6.3% to 6.6% for the current financial year, owing to strong domestic demand and free trade agreements. World Bank expects India to remain the primary engine of growth in South Asia. In India, growth is estimated to have accelerated from 7.1% in financial year 2025 to 7.6% in financial year 2026, owing to strong domestic demand and export resilience. Private consumption growth was particularly robust, supported by low inflation and rationalization of the goods and services tax. Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Mariano Grossi, has appreciated India's achievement in attaining criticality of the prototype fast breeder reactor at Kalapakkam in Tamil Nadu. A report.
The landmark step marks a significant advancement in the country's indigenous nuclear program and its pursuit of long-term energy sustainability. In a social media post, Mr. Grossi described the development as impressive progress by India in achieving criticality of the prototype fast breeder reactor at Kalapakkam, a key step forward in fuel sustainability and the future of nuclear energy. He reaffirmed the IAEA's commitment to India, saying that the organization will continue supporting the safe and secure development of India's nuclear program. The IAEA chief in his message also congratulated Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The Kalapakkam facility is a cornerstone of India's three-stage nuclear power strategy designed to harness the country's abundant thorium reserves and achieve greater fuel efficiency while reducing dependence on imported uranium. With Moinuddin's report, Chirag Jha, Akashwani News, Delhi.
U.S. President Donald Trump is sending a delegation led by Vice President J.D. Vance and other top officials to Islamabad for direct talks with Iran aimed at ending weeks of conflict in the West Asia region. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt said that the negotiating team will include Middle East Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, with the first round scheduled for Saturday morning. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian confirmed Tehran will attend the Islamabad talks following a telephone conversation with Pakistan Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif. In IPL cricket, Gujarat Titans beat Delhi Capitals by one run in a last-over thriller at the Arun Jaitley Stadium in Delhi last night. Chasing a target of 210 runs set by the Gujarat, the Delhi Capitals made 209 runs at the loss of 8 wickets. During the chase, KL Rahul's 92-run innings went in vain. Rashid Khan was declared player of the match for his economic and wicket-taking spell. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Saira Mujtaba.
Thank you, Sarabjit. Almost all newspapers today open with a fragile ceasefire in West Asia. Hindustan Times notes, Iran accuses US of violating three deal clauses. White House contests Tehran's 10-point plan. Iran closes Strait of Hormuz again in response to Israeli attacks against Hezbollah in Lebanon. Economic Times informs, RBI holds repo rate, flags supply chain risks to inflation and growth. The Statesman, on its editorial page under the caption, Ceasefire Illusion, talks about the two-week pause in hostilities announced by US President Donald Trump. What has emerged is not just peace, but a carefully staged intermission, one where each actor claims success, even as the underlying conflict continues to burn through other channels. President Trump's own formulation is revealing. He declared that military objectives had been met and exceeded, even as he agreed to suspend strikes conditional on Iran reopening the Strait of Hormuz. On the other side, Iran is performing the same rhetorical maneuver. Its acceptance of a temporary ceasefire is paired with a maximalist 10-point framework that includes sanctions, relief, compensation and strategic control over Hormuz. And finally, the Indian Express notes, Cabinet clears bills for women's quota in Lok Sabha and assemblies, delimitation to be based on census 2011. And with that, it's back to you, Sarabjit.
Thank you, Saira. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Polling begins for assembly elections in Assam, Kerala and Puducherry. Government announces relief measures for domestic airlines, cuts airport charges by 25%. World Bank raises India's growth forecast from 6.3% to 6.6% for current financial year. IAEA Director General Rafael Mariano Grossi praises India's nuclear milestone at Kalapakkam in Tamil Nadu. US Vice President J.D. Vance to lead American delegation for direct talks with Iran in Islamabad aimed at ending West Asia conflict. And in IPL cricket, Gujarat Titans beat Delhi Capitals by one run in last over thriller at Arun Jaitley Stadium in Delhi. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.